Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to On the Preds with me, your host, Alex Daugherty of A to Z Sports, and also Sean Smith of A to Z Sports. We are here today to talk of Preds hockey on September 5th. It is Labor Day. We are still a ways away from hockey, from real hockey. We don't even have a training camp date yet, but we are here anyways. Sean, how's it going?
Going pretty well. Pretty exciting week coming up at the Smith House. So, just buckling up. We got the boys' first big hockey tournament this weekend in St. Louis. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah. So we've got some hockey going on in between seasons in a lot of ways for across the board. I mean, it's like pro and youth hockey all over the place.
Yeah.
But we are here and it is Labor Day. We are going to talk about something that is just kind of off the beaten path and kind of fun. And we are going to discuss bad Twitter takes. Sean and I came up with this because we saw a couple things. I mean, I know I saw something recently, and then Sean had a couple in the bank ready to go for bad Twitter takes. Maybe this will be a recurring show that we do every now and then, because there's enough of these out there that, like, you can't really, like, you have to just kind of keep up with them. Like, there's no way to catch all of them as they come through. And so we need to kind of like collect them in a basket and then open the basket every now and then and just take a look inside.
Yeah. And if you're out there listening and you're thinking like, I've seen a bunch, hey, save them and send them to us. We'll put them in the bank and talk about them. And I think the funny thing is part of the nature of covering sports, at least at this point in time, is that a lot of it happens on Twitter just because it's easy to get information out quickly. A lot of people know to go there, but the problem you run into is when you do end up having to spend a lot of time on Twitter, you're exposed to a lot of really odd takes from people. So, and it's funny because I think you see a lot more during the season, whereas a lot of the off-season stuff is just commentary about how the off-season's going and who is or isn't doing a good job or things like that. But sometimes it can get pretty intense and pretty brutal with the things that people are willing to put out there.
Yeah, and for the record, for this one, we went back to not necessarily just offseason. We're talking about bad Twitter takes about the Preds or about Preds players from a while ago, or just, you know, ones that we just kind of happened to think about. And also, if you do find these, we are not exempt from having bad Twitter takes, Sean and I. So feel free to share those as well. I didn't look through my own Twitter to find one. I mean, I'm sure they're there. I'm sure Sean has some. But my point is, we're not trying to sit on high and point at the peasants and laugh. We are here in the muck with the rest of you as well, and are known to throw feces at ourselves from time to time.
I'm pretty sure if you look back, you don't even have to go too far, you'd find a few for me. So
I want to start with this one, actually, because this is one of the ones that kind of got me thinking about this in terms of why we're doing this one today. And that was, I don't know how this popped up. I think it was just on my tweet deck. I just have Preds in there. And someone had commented on a Sportsnet tweet that was about which NHL team has the best fans. Always a hot take factory there. And this person, whose Twitter handle is CupChampsSamo, so I'm guessing they're an Avalanche fan, said Preds fans don't even know what hockey is and can't fill an arena for a playoff game.
Hmm.
So a lot of badness in that one. I mean, obviously, technically speaking, it's not right because the Predators had the second most, in terms of percentage, second most attendance last year. and then fourth most overall in terms of raw fans. And it, even if you account for the 55,000 that were at the Stadium Series or the Stadium Series game, they still are like to eighth or something. Even with even if you take away like those extra 40,000 fans that were allowed in for that one game, So that's just not right. I mean, like it's just incorrect. There were plenty of fans at the playoff games. The atmosphere is different. I will agree with that. But that, he wasn't talking about the atmosphere. He was literally just saying fans in the seats. So.
Well, and I think another big part of that, too, is that they say that Preds fans don't even know what hockey is. Where do you think that comes from? I mean, I think we can point.
I don't understand how people still make that. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you could make that argument about literally any fan base. There's probably some Canadiens fans that don't know anything about hockey but go to the games because that's, like, a huge thing to do in Montreal. I know that might sound controversial or a hot take, but I guarantee you it's true. There are unknowledgeable fans in every fan base everywhere.
Well, and you don't have to be like some kind of hockey almanac or some kind of, hockey. Someone who knows how all the plays should go down and everything.
I remember
it seems silly.
I remember there was one game. This was like maybe 6-7 years ago. There was a hat trick at Bridgestone Arena. A Preds player got a hat trick, but the way it happened, it was the player was on two goals, and the third goal was like a tipped goal that they didn't award until later.
Right.
Or maybe I'm misremembering it. It was something like where. Go ahead.
I think the second goal had been credited to someone else. I think if you were watching it at home, you knew what was going on. But if you were in the arena. Was it Sissons? I want to say it was Sissons or maybe Craig Smith.
I don't think it was Sissons because his hat trick was in the Western Conference Final. I think everyone knew that one. I think that was his only hat trick. But Craig Smith is a good person. It could have been Craig Smith. And so, like, it was like the second goal was credited to, like, James Neal or something and then later given to Craig Smith. But, people in the arena didn't know that.
No.
And then the third – when he got the third goal – and then there were no hats thrown on the ice, even though it was a hat trick. Yeah. On the broad TV broadcast, they're like, hat trick for Craig Smith, and no one's throwing hats. All these people were like, they don't know anything about it. They don't know what a hat trick is. They don't know anything about hockey. So that kind of stuff happens. But I guarantee you that would have happened in Detroit, too. Like, that would have happened in Toronto. If they didn't know, if the fans didn't know it was a hat trick, they wouldn't have thrown, you know what I mean? Like, that could have happened in the fan base.
Well, I think it all goes back probably to this There's that fun tweet that always comes out, and it shows where the Tennessean put out the rules of the game thing.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
And everybody likes to point at that. And I think what's hard is I think about, like, I've got kids.
2014 or 15, something like that?
Something like that. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to see, but the date's not popping
it was,
up.
Well, it happened a few times. I mean, obviously they did it back when the team first got here, but – the one I remember I think 2015, because the Predators were back in the playoffs for the first time since 2012.
Yeah.
So it had been, it was the three seasons since they'd been in the playoffs. And I'm sure that whoever that was that wrote for the Tennessee and was not here in 2012. So they were like, this team's going to the playoffs. We need to tell people what the playoffs are.
Well, I think the biggest issue for me is I think about you talk about, growing fans or growing the game in an area. And I mean, you want that to happen, but you can't just expect someone to suddenly come to games and know everything. At some point, they've got to have a basic understanding. I remember my first hockey game. Someone had to explain what icing was. And I mean, I don't feel bad for not knowing that at all. You hear it called and you're like, well, what does that even mean? What's wrong with that? You got to have somebody explain it to you.
You've been to Titans games, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess Titans is the biggest team in the area. You've been to football games.
Yeah.
Specifically Titans games. How many people around you at the games do you think are like fully knowledgeable, know every player, know certain penalties, know situations? I would say like half is a pretty good guess. And maybe like 60%. Maybe like 6 out of every 10 people around you are like really into it. They know the players. They know all the stuff. I mean, that's been conservative, but let's say it's 6. That means that there's like three or four people around here who don't know anything about football. They don't know anything. They're just there for the party, man. They're just there for the environment. So I think that's, you can make the argument in every sport. I know people think that because they know a little bit more about the Titans or they know more about football that like everyone else around them does too. They don't. They really don't. Most of them, some of them are there because it's an excuse to drink during the day. So
a lot of them do that. I mean, I'm sure every game I've been to, there's been some pretty intense partying going on.
And there are definitely people who go to Predators games because it's stop number one on the night of a very long night downtown in Nashville. So
yeah, big time.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go to another one. You give us a tweet that you found.
Okay, one that I really enjoy, and this is kind of a two-parter here because this is someone who has provided a lot of really interesting information. We'll say information over the years, and it's Twitter user at that crazy caniac, different from at crazy caniac, totally different person. But this was when the Predators were awarded the Stadium Series a while back, and it was harder to find. It was something along the lines that started off with a tweet that was F Nashville and Tampa. This game should have been Carolina's, which was it really kind of provided this idea that this, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes deserved this game. Nashville didn't. Tampa Bay certainly didn't. And that they were robbed out of something. And when you kind of push this fun little character a little farther, we ended up with all of this information about the infrastructure of the city, the building projects that were going on
in Raleigh, that
Raleigh, North Carolina was just going to be the absolute pinnacle of modernization and ease of transport in the cities. And it, that Nashville couldn't even keep up. And we got maps with multicolored, you know, codes. Red is projects under construction. Blue is projects starting construction within a year. Green is approved and finalizing plans. Yellow is proposed. And this was supposed to make us all feel like, gosh, our city, Nashville's just, nobody wants to come here. It's just falling apart. They're not building anything at all.
Yeah, imagine like if I was on Twitter or Facebook or something and I was bragging that my girlfriend or my wife was like hotter than yours, and I was like, yeah, no, I promise, man, my wife girlfriend is hotter than yours, man. And I just like went and just drew a picture of a woman and just said like, here, look how beautiful she is, look, she's gorgeous, and was like, this is what I mean, look, I'm so this is my proof. That's what this dude did. He went and drew pictures on the cityscape of Raleigh and said, look how much greater our city's gonna be. Like, this guy's a lunatic, and he jumped into the conversation about the Global Series too. That's where this came from, which is also weird because that's not even happening in Nashville.
No. It's not even happening in the United States of America or North America.
That guy's pretty bad. That crazy caniac. And it is fun to pick on other fan bases. And I do think the Carolina one is a particularly bad one, like in terms of Twitter. Go ahead.
My guess is that if you ask the, you know, Hurricanes Twitter fandom at large, if this was a rational and reasonable person to engage in discourse with, they would quickly say no. So probably. I'm not too worried that this is representative of the entire fan base.
There are fan bases on Twitter that are just like a cesspool, and I would say Carolina is one of them. I know it might be recency bias, but Colorado's is pretty bad. I'll tell you one that's actually sneaky, kind of entertaining, is Chicago. Chicago's pretty entertaining. They got some pretty funny people up there in Chicago. So, I mean, they're pretty good at it, and they've had a lot of experience with, like, you know, bragging rights and all that stuff. Dallas and St. Louis, I don't really care. Minnesota, I don't think they have the Twitter up there.
Probably not.
That's not true. There are some people in Minnesota I really actually respect and like. So,
well, there's a lot of hot dish up there. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. I have another one here. Let's go to some like hockey decision related stuff. So,
okay.
This one, and this is maybe a bit unfair because it has a lot of whenever you talk about trades and hindsight and such. But there was this take from at Hockey Robinson, Cam Robinson, who is a very well-known like scout person thing for elite prospects, I believe. This is from August of 2020. And it says, remember when the Preds traded Kevin Fiala for Mikhail Granlund straight up and swallowed the extra $4.5 million cap hit? Yeah, that was not a great idea. I found this one because, number one, that trade was bad for 2 years. There's no doubt about that. Kevin Fiala was incredible for Minnesota. But where does it look like now? And the whole purpose of trading Kevin Fiala for Mikhail Granlund, if you recall, was because Kevin Fiala was 3 or 4 years away from being what Mikhail Granlund was when they traded him. Like, he wasn't there yet, and they couldn't get him there. So it was an upgrade in terms of hockey production for Nashville, and the extra cap hit got swallowed because eventually Granlund took a pay cut to stay in Nashville. Guess who didn't take a pay cut to stay in Minnesota?
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Fiala.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, didn't I'm just saying, Minnesota. Kevin Fiala, part of trading players is because you think maybe you're not going to keep him around. That's exactly what happened. They had a feeling Mikhail Granlund would be a guy that they could keep around. Maybe I'm stretching it a little bit there, but I do think that that trade, in hindsight, it's a very strange trade to litigate now because, boy, for 2 years there, it was bad because Kevin Fiala was just a menace for Minnesota. But you can't ignore – it doesn't end there. I mean, it doesn't change that, you know, Mikhail Granlund's still around and, by the way, a huge piece of the Predators right now. So there you go.
That's a good one. I think I think it's funny that people want to say things about, you know, they obviously won this trade or the trade looks really bad. And trades are a lot more than what happens like the day after the trade. It's what happens down the road. And I think that's why, you know, you can look back on those trades and say, okay, so maybe it looked bad at that moment. But when we look at it in the bigger picture, you still have Mikhail Granlund contributing to this team, being a huge asset to the team. And what did Minnesota get when Kevin Fiala signed with the Kings?
Nothing. They had to let him walk.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They had to let him. They didn't get anything in return. So they didn't. They couldn't replace him with anything. So
they got a collective. What am I trying to say? Collectively, all together, they got 215 games out of Kevin Fiala, 186 points. That is excellent production. That's double the production that he had in Nashville in just about the same amount of time. And yeah, he was very, very good. But now he's gone. So, all right. So let's move on. Do you want to do one more of yours?
Yeah, I found this one. This was from back in May. So you know what was going on then. It's from an account called 303 Hockey, which is an Avalanche fan site, I suppose. But they, if you recall, Matt Duchene was being booed very heavily by the Avalanche fans there in Colorado. And of course, they're telling him he sucked. And I think it was, you know, Duchene was scoring goals or something when it happened. But someone took this opportunity to say, Ryan Johansson deserves more booze than Matt Duchene. Just saying, that guy sucks, and he's a clown.
Oh yes.
So I don't know what I don't know what the problem there is.
Yeah, there were a lot of Avalanche fans. Part of me was like, why did the Avalanche fans even care about the Nashville fan base? I mean, it was so clearly not going to be a very long series. Went into going up against the worst goaltending situation in the playoffs. I mean, it was just like it was very weird to get like that. But I don't know. It's whatever. Before we move on to the next one, I want to talk about Relax the Back. Here's the thing: if you want to live better, feel better, and sleep better every day, you need to check out Relax the Back. One thing that I love about Relax the Back is that they have a variety of different options for the different things in your life. Working at the office, just relaxing at home, sleeping at night, they have all of it. ergonomic office chairs, zero gravity chairs. They're all of them designed to get your spine in the right position so that you can work better every day, relax better when you're sitting back watching football on the weekend or hockey at night coming up here soon. And then for sleep options, they've got the Techno Gel, which is a really, really nice substance, I guess, whatever you call it, that gets your back in the right position and sturdy enough so that when you're sleeping, your spine is doing exactly what it needs to do. They've got wedge systems and posture pillows for getting in the right position as well if you're a side sleeper, which I am. But if you just got to check it out, you got to go to Relax the Back, the store in Green Hills, 2020 Glen Echo Road. They've got a sleep agent on hand every day. You got to talk to Glenn. He owns the store, and ask him about the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy body, healthy work, and healthy mind. Okay. I've got another one here.
Okay.
There's one Twitter user here that I'm going to bring up that I think you have a tweet as well. So I'm going to save it, but this one is okay. Someone who's been in, does this person follow me? I think this person might follow me. No. Okay. They don't. Never mind. Alex Sears. You heard this person?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alex Sears has the misfortune of being one of many people who were doubters of David Poile protecting Tanner Janot in the expansion draft. And in a reply to one of the tweets about it, said, "I don't get the love for Janot. You know who else played well in the playoffs and then fell back to obscurity from which he came? Freddie Goudreau. Surely there was a better option there. I'm cool with the others." Talking about the other people that are protected. But so this is not necessarily to pick on Alex here, but this is sort of a catch-all. All these people that jumped on and said, "Don't protect. Why are you protecting Tanner Janot in the expansion draft?" Boy, that was unwise.
Yeah, that definitely. And you know, I think it's funny because that's not the worst argument you can make. But saying that because it happened to Freddie Gaudreau, yeah, it's going to happen to Tanner Janot is probably not the best reasoning behind it. It certainly didn't turn out to be true. We can say that much, right?
The other thing is, it wasn't just he didn't just get hot in the playoffs. Like he played at the end of that year, and he had 7 points in 15 games. Like he was playing pretty well, like towards the end of the year. Then he played in the playoffs, and was really good against the Hurricanes. Though that was,
yeah,
Hurricanes, but. So the Tanner Janot thing, like, I mean, there weren't that many people, but there were enough people to where it was like, and it was mostly people who wanted to see the team protect Cal Yarncroke. And, you know, if you wanted someone like Cal Yarncroke to be protected, Tanner Janot is clearly better than Cal Yarncroke. Like, it's not even, just eye test, just watch the two. Like, his ceiling is higher. His skills are better. He's bigger. He's more physical. He's just like, they're not even really comparable. So it's like, why would you not protect this dude who's cost controlled and an RFA versus this guy who had $2 million left on one year? So, I don't know.
Yeah. I think the Preds made the right call on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say.
All right.
You ready for another one? Okay. So, and this is, look, again, Not to pick on this one person individually. I think we all kind of made comments like this over the summer at some point. But here's one, and it's a tweet that is introducing an article, but it's at Max Greenberg 176. It says, it's no secret that the Preds are greatly botching the Philip Forsberg situation. Summer was interesting. We'll say that. Summer was interesting for a lot of reasons when it came to the Predators. We kind of went into the offseason with a comment from David Poile that tried to take a lot of the heat off of John Hines, saying that this wasn't John Hines' fault. It's his fault because he didn't get him the personnel he needed to get the job done. And so that kind of fell to David Poyle, setting himself up to have a pretty good offseason or to really feel like he's on the hot seat. So I think the longer that things went on this summer without any kind of movement or any kind of positive sounding resolution coming to fruition for a while there with the Forsberg situation, you know, I think that that made it hard for a lot of people to trust that it was going to happen. Now, it seems like once the before the ink was dry on the contract, that everybody was really happy.
Yeah.
In that all of those times when Poyle said they're close, but not close enough, that he was actually telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that, like he said, both teams wanted to get a deal done and that they actually did. So, you know, maybe that's the product of a lot of lack of faith or trust or doubt or whatever it is in the general manager of the team. But that ended up looking like everybody came out pretty good, except for people who said that the Preds were really making a mess out of it.
So, all right, I'm gonna give Max a get out of jail free card here. And here's why: because if you go on Twitter and you are just farting out noise all day, and you just like there's nothing, no substance what you're doing, and it's just like madness, then you deserve to be called out. But if you put pen to paper and you actually compose a take, you write it for a website, for whatever, as even if it's bad, or not just writing, but like if you do a podcast or whatever, you do a podcast or you write something or you do something other than just tweet, you know, 240 characters, whatever it is, I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. Now, it doesn't mean that you're right. And it doesn't mean the take isn't bad, because it is. But I will allow it in this case because, you know, we've all been there. We've all been writing stuff and trying to get people's attention and trying to get a headline that works. And I think in some ways that's okay. I think he was going on some information. I did look at the article. I mean, he was going on information that was a little bit old. Maybe not old, just incomplete. He was going on some information that was incomplete. As a lot of us were. I mean, we were trying to build a case for why this thing was happening without really the full story. So I'm going to give Max a little bit of a break, but this next person, I'm not going to give a break at all.
Okay.
And that would be good old 501 Broadway, Smashville's finest. Oh
boy. Okay.
You have one from this one, right?
I do.
Okay. Well, mine is, I hope this is not the same one, but mine is this thing that happened back in April where I think it's a he, right? I'm pretty sure it is. I think I've DM'd the person. I think it is a he. We're pretty confident in that. And basically there's a tweet thread about how there hadn't been much Twitter activity on the Preds.
Yeah.
For the last 1 to 2 years, that's what this says. If you've been on Preds Twitter for a while, you've noticed there hasn't been much activity on here in the last 1 to 2 years. A lot of heavily followed Preds accounts have not been active in recent years. And then does this whole thing about trying to explain why, something about Bally Sports, the fan base isn't happy, mentally checked out, the pandemic, franchises, price.com and fans, which is true. I don't know what that has to do with Twitter, because Twitter's free. And then he says something about Jared Stillman. I don't really know what that is, but I just did not understand what in the world this was about. This didn't make any sense to me, because here's the thing. Like, Twitter, like Facebook and Instagram, is an algorithmic-based social media platform. It puts into your feed now what you typically want to see. So what this probably means is that Smashville's Finest was spending a lot fewer time looking at Pred stuff and more time looking at other stuff. And so Twitter just decided to not put it in your feed as much. This happens. This is what happens with YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, like I mentioned. Like, this is the way, the beast. I have not noticed any decrease in the amount of, if anything, it has gone up, because there are so many people covering the team now in many ways. Some media row looks different, but like, there's a lot of people who just have Twitter accounts that just put out stuff, you know, put out interesting content or maybe not as interesting content, but at least it's something. So I did not understand this. Do you remember when this happened in April?
Yeah, and it was. I remember it because everybody got their feathers all ruffled up about it, including myself, because I seem to recall that account just being some kind of nonsense account back during the Cup run, probably run by a teenager or something. And now he's grown up a little bit, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to write about the Preds again." And he wasn't welcomed back with open arms, and not everybody loved him immediately and thought he was hilarious. So he probably got his feelings hurt and decided that it couldn't have been his content. It had to have been that, you know, Twitter just wasn't as active anymore. That's my guess. I don't know. But
yeah, I think so. There have been a few people that have dropped off. And I think there's a couple people. I mean, a couple people just don't even work with the Preds anymore. I mean, that
right.
Know, that's, and for whatever reason, those organizations have not filled anymore. And this was before, you know, Vingan left the Athletic too. So like that's even more of a of a hole. I mean, like Vingan, he was a big Twitter voice for Nashville Predators fans. You know, like that's something that happened. I would say Martel and even Bradford now, like not being sort of on the day to day of. I mean, they tweet out occasionally, but like, you know, not. I think they're not as active on it. Like they by choice. No. Like they're choosing to do other things. So, and that's great. I mean, I'm happy for them. So anyways, that was just so weird.
It was weird. But I'll tell you, that's not the last we'll speak of Smashville's Finest.
Let's go to it. What do you have? What else?
Okay, so here's a fun one. And I didn't want to go back and find the sort like what this was in reference to, but it's gotta be one of two things. It's probably gotta be one thing. It says, "I'll never understand chanting 'you suck' after a clear goal." Now I don't know. If there's one of two things that could be going on here. One, you know, we're talking about telling the goalie that they suck after the Predators have scored on them, or telling the refs that they suck after they overturned a challenge or something like that. Either way, I mean, why do you think people chant that the refs suck or that the other team sucks? If you just had to name, you know, in one sentence, why do people do that? Even if it's a good goal or it's a clear goal, like why do you think the entire crowd starts telling the refs they suck?
It's just a vocal reaction. It's like booing.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, right.
I mean, you're going to a hockey game. You're there to be entertained. You're there to see some excitement. You're supposed to react. It's like when you go to a movie and something funny happens, you laugh. When you go to a hockey game and something happens to your team that you don't like, you're going to lash out at someone. It might as well be the refs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why a lot, like you said, there's a lot of people at sporting events who go because it gives them an excuse to drink during the day. There's a lot of people that go to sporting events because it gives them an excuse to tell somebody they suck without getting any kind of retribution for it, right?
Right.
Seems silly to question that for me, but what do I know, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who don't like the "you suck" thing anymore, and a lot of people who don't like the. Well, of course, there's the banners and the statue, the Pecorino statue that's going to be up there soon. That's an interesting one. A lot of people don't. There, not a lot. There's considerable. There's too many people out there, I think, that think that the Pecorino statue is a bad take. I think it makes perfect sense. I don't really have any more, but I know that you had one that came from Facebook.
You want to talk about
Jimbo?
Well, you know, it's fun. The Facebook group's a lot of fun. Of course, we got to make sure that everyone knows that Justin Bradford is the creator of this group. They're his children. He's got to take care of them. Although it's always fun to see how they react to things, but here's one. And what I like about this is it's from back in January. And yeah, it's Jimbo Watson. And the reaction is, "We look like crap. Huso is absolutely destroying us at goalie. Please pull Saros and put in Riddick for the remainder of the season. Fire Hines while at it." Oh man.
Yeah. If you
what
get
a lot of fire,
finding a take that Saros needed to be benched this last year, that takes some doing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, and I brought this up when we were talking about this. I feel like Jimbo Watson is an invented personality. I don't think this is a real person.
Maybe not.
Or if it's a real person, it's just like it's an act. Because if you've been on that Facebook, Twitter group, or Facebook Preds group, you've probably seen more than once a Jimbo Watson post, which is just the, it's like the text post, right? It's like a block with text in it. And they're always just outrageous takes. I mean, they're nonsense most of the time. I mean, sometimes stuff about moving the team, sometimes stuff about firing like the best player, or cutting the best player, firing the coach like after, you know, one loss or whatever. There's a lot. There's almost too many. I just feel like maybe Jimbo Watson is a character.
A rascal, huh? A real knucklehead.
No, not that. I mean, literally someone who is like constructing a character of a person. Like, it's probably a fake name. I don't know what the Facebook profile is, but like, I'm just saying, this is just a guess. It's too outrageous. It's too hard to believe that someone could
look. I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people with some pretty intense reactions, and there's always the possibility that it's just theater, you know?
If anyone happens to know Jimbo Watson, or is it Jimbo Watson or Jimbo Wilson?
Let me look really quick. I can tell you, I can give you that information. It is Jimbo Watson.
Jimbo Watson, okay. And
yeah,
I don't have the sorry, I'm getting a phone call. I don't have the Facebook thing in front of me, but I remember the name, and I remember seeing a lot of just takes that were just like, there's no way someone thinks this. I'm putting money down that it's a fake person.
Potentially, yes.
If anyone has any information about Jimbo Watson, please come forward. If you are Jimbo and you're listening to this, please send us a utility bill of your residence, driver's license, some photo ID of some sort to prove you are who you say you are and prove that your takes are genuine. Tell us what you think the Predators should do with John Hines.
I'm not sure, man. I'm going back through and just looking at all of his tweets here. And
wait, his tweets?
They're not tweets, but his messages on the either time to pull Ingram and put in Riddick. Let's see. Preds get in six games, going to even get the shutout tonight, calling it. Riddick's going to bounce back and prove everyone he deserves a starting role. Last night was a fluke. I stand with Riddick. Preds players couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. Absolute embarrassment.
Those sound pretty normal.
Like, was Justin thing. Bradford a former player or something? Seems kind of an important fella here in this group.
I remember that one because I think we talked to Justin about that and made fun of him for it. That one's great. That also makes me think, like, that person that person's not a serious person. The person doesn't know anything about what's going on.
Maybe. Or it's an act. Probably right. Or it's an act.
Yeah. We've got to get to the bottom of the Jimbo Watson thing, but we will have to save that for another time. We will close up the bag of bad Twitter takes for now. We will open that bag back up at some point and take a look around. But in the meantime, thanks for listening. right now, Sean is just showing with more Jimbo Watson takes, including "In Riddick We Trust" and why does Yossi have a C on his jersey? That's one of Jimbo Watson's take. Jimbo Watson's take. Anyways, you can check out all of our hockey coverage at azsports.com. Sean and I both have written stuff on there recently. Go check it out in the Predators section. And we will be back next week with more hockey and more bad takes, including more from Jimbo Watson, I'm sure. Follow me on Twitter at AlexDartyWoman and follow Sean on Twitter at SCSNSH. We'll be right back.